B-Pod Studios.
On the line with us right now, Devon Givens joins us. Devon, what's happening, brother?
Good morning. What's going on, man? How you doing?
We're doing great, man. Big Sixers win last night. Ben Simmons puts out max effort, gets things done. Tobias Harris, perfect from beyond the arc. This game was just absolutely all Sixers all the time. Any moment it seemed that they were going to lose a little bit of control, they just regrouped and got it done. How encouraged are you for not just this playoff series, but maybe going into the playoffs a little deeper? How encouraged are you by the way they've played the last two games?
Well, if they can keep this mentality going, specifically Ben Simmons starting off and setting the tone and making, as Bob and I talked about during pregame coverage between games one and two, starting off and setting that tone and making the Nets and maybe any other team, as you point out, going forward, now they have to adjust to you. And not only you letting them dictate the situation, but now you're dictating the situation. And Ben Simmons has done that the last two games with the aggressive approach from the start, from the tip, and getting things going right away, establishing things, letting him know that he's going to be there, and not just in a passing capacity, Mark, but also in the fact that he's going to look for his, get to the basket, and try to score. And I think that's what really, you know, got them going yesterday. And having Jimmy Butler play off the ball as the point guard to initiate things to start the game also threw a new wrinkle in there. So maybe if they do advance and they play Toronto or Milwaukee or Boston, something that they have not seen. So very encouraging overall. We know they can score points. It's still about their defense, but it was great to see them go on the road and respond the way they did after the big win. And not a letdown. You score 145 points, you get 51 points in the third quarter, and you tie a NBA playoff record. You can say there's a bit of a letdown at some point, and even with Joel Embiid and the game time decision and all that chatter that had happened prior to the game, they came out, they punched him in the mouth early, putting up 32 in the first quarter, and aside from a few runs, which happens, it's basketball, game of runs, the Sixers really had control of this game the entire night.
Devon, what do we got to do to see this effort from Ben Simmons every night? Because it seems like he needs a little kick in the butt to really get going.
And it's unfortunate that he needs a kick in the butt to really get it going, because we already know he's that talented. He was the number one overall pick for a reason. And you hope that he doesn't need the chatter from Jared Dudley, as he calls him, just Jared Dudley, or Caris LeVert, and the missing posters that are plastered all around Brooklyn. You hope that he doesn't need stuff like that to really get things going, but it worked for him yesterday. He also pointed out how when Brett Brown went off on the team at halftime of game number two, that he loved it, that he got up for that, that was something that he had never saw from his head coach, specifically directed at him by calling him out for some missed situations that he had within the game. So, Mark, this is, and Bob will tell you, my favorite thing to say is aggressive Ben Simmons is the best Ben Simmons. And if you get that version, it may not be in the tune of 31 points every single night, because that's not who he is. But if he comes out and, again, puts his foot on the chest of the opponent immediately and let them know that he's going to be there, it's going to open up those passing opportunities that he's always looking for, and those scoring situations will be there for him as well. So with this being a, as you know, a 16-win series or tournament for the teams in the postseason, he has to know that this has to be the approach for the next 14 wins that they need going forward. And I don't think you need any other things but simply yourself, your teammates, and the opportunity that's in front of you.
Devon, there are some that believe with that win last night without Joel Embiid that maybe, you know, you can take a look at the rest of this series and say, pick your spots where you may play him, rest him up for the next series. I'm of the ilk that I want him out there. If he's good to go, I want him out there. Where do you stand on that?
I agree with you. If he's ready to go, he's ready to go. He's also talked about Joel Embiid saying that the more rest that he gets, the more problematic his knee is. So if he says he's ready to go, then you let him go. Now, you may monitor it within the game, and as we found out at the end of game one, you're just hearing a little whispers that they may have had a 24-minute restriction in game one where he wound up right around that mark in the first place. So if he is able to go, Bob, I agree with you. I'm putting him on the floor. I'm getting him going early, and I'm kind of making him, again, adapt, as you said, with the style of the play that they had last night, kind of make him adapt as well to how we are going. And I know you are a big proponent of game number one, getting Embiid going if he was out there and running that inside-out offense for the 76ers, which is effective. And it worked again last night, but just a different way, where it was inside out, more so attacking the basket than dumping it on the block and letting guys go to work. Greg Monroe, of course, with his back-to-the-basket offense. Ben Simmons, not so much last night, more the aggressive approach, just attacking the painted area overall, whether it was looking to score or find teammates for scoring opportunities. I put him out there no matter what. I monitor it in-game and kind of get him going within the flow of what we are doing, not just what he is doing.
Devon, we're speaking to Devon Givens, of course, of 97.5 The Fanatic. You can follow him on Twitter at DevonG97.5. Devon, how much credit is Brett Brown going to get for this series and how they've been able to kind of turn the tide since game one? It seems like since that locker room speech, that high school stuff that some people would dismiss, kind of had, I don't know, a little extra edge to it.
Yeah, he won't get any credit publicly. That's just not what it is right now. It's just not going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen, Mark and Bob, until he advances this team past the second round or beyond. And while we may all sit there and the fans will look at some certain situations, they may put a finger on and say, okay, that was a great substitution right there, Brett. But you also made a bad one by going with Jonathan Simmons over James Ennis for whatever reason you decided to go with. But I thought he did a nice job. Even when he decided to start going with Jonah Bolden at the four, even though it hasn't worked as of yet, you can see he's thinking of something different. And James Ennis out there as well in certain lineups that he feels like is a better matchup for some of those three guards opposite the Sixers, and Russell, Dinwiddie, and LeVert, that to give them that athleticism. And again, quite frankly, as I just pointed out in the first question that you guys asked, was having Jimmy Butler run the point to start things off, not just later when Ben Simmons goes out, but as soon as they got their first offensive possession, Ben Simmons is looking for Jimmy Butler to give him the ball, to bring the ball up the floor. And I thought that was a great message to the team, and to, as Bob always talks about, make them adjust to you now. So now they're looking at it and say, okay, we're used to Butler doing this later in the game when Simmons comes out, but not necessarily when they start the game. What are they doing here? And I thought that was a great job by Brett Brown to do that, but he won't get credit until he gets them into at least the Eastern Conference Finals.
Devon, the one little gray cloud that Jamie Lynch keeps pointing out from last night is the play of Greg Monroe. I really
don't put me through it again.
Well.
4-13, my man.
I don't want to change up. I don't want to change Boban's role coming off the bench. I think if you start him, now you're changing two guys. So, my question to you is, what do you want to do with that center position? Are you okay with Monroe in there, say, 20-minute, you know, guy if Embiid can't go, and then having Boban coming off the bench, or do you want to see a different way to go?
No, I'm with you again on this one. Sorry, Jamie. I apologize.
You don't have to apologize.
We'll have some fun.
It's fine. Talk to me again when he misses three layups in game four.
Yeah, he missed quite a bit. but you can see, you know, this is who he's always been, from Georgetown to Detroit to Boston, Toronto, and now here in Philadelphia, where he does not get that lift. And having the lack of time on the floor that he hasn't been able to play with in any of these last places that he has been, he has not been able to get on the floor. And the opportunities, as Jamie is talking about, they were there. But I agree with you, Bob, that you want to keep Boban in his normal rotation, which is coming off the bench and giving you possibly 18 minutes, maybe no more than that, which is why when you and Dee and I were talking about it before game one, if Embiid wasn't ready, that I also went with Mike Scott, because I think it's more of where he can be more of a floater, Scott, in terms of where he can be as a 3-4 and sometimes a 5, where Monroe and Boban are strictly 5s. So if Monroe is going to be your emergency guy, as Brett Brown likes to call him, when Elton Brand assigned him at the end of the year, then that's what he's going to be. He's going to be my starter, and I don't think he's going to miss those layups all the time. Last night, he rushed them. He was going too quick because, again, those opportunities have not been there for him. And I think if he is out there again in that same situation, I think we'll see a better shooting percentage overall. But you can't ignore those 13 rebounds either.
Well, yeah, 5 were on his own misses.
Hey, that's his second jump.
That's his second jump.
I would have benched his ass the third play of the game where Jared Allen got a board over him, and he just kind of like shifted in quicksand and watched him dunk it. And I went,
I know.
Oh, this guy's got limited heart. Let's go. Yeah, well, get him out of here.
Listen, I'm the only Amir Johnson guy.
Oh, no, Devon.
So, and I'm only saying that because of the defensive, the trust overall, at least as you just said, he's sunk in quicksand as he watched Jared Allen. At least Amir Johnson would have had a body on him to not allow him to get that easy basket. And I'm not saying that you put him in there. I'm just saying I'm the only Amir Johnson guy left in town.
And you're scaring me with the Greg Monroe stuff too, Devon, not for nothing.
I
got to ask you the most pressing question of this entire game.
Mm-hmm.
Who farted?
You know what? That's a good one. you know who I'm going to put this one on? I'm going to put this on Haywood Highsmith, just because.
Right? That's who it
behind
was.
The bench, let's go with the G League guy who has earned his way onto this two-way roster spot that he has. And he's getting a learning experience, and he seems like he would be the jokester of those young guys.
He doesn't have enough cred to beef on the bench.
Zaire Smith and Shake Milton, at least those two guys have been drafted. You know, this guy's a funny guy, and I think he's the one who let one go.
All right.
We'll break it down all day tomorrow.
You got to keep him loose on the bench, man.
That is the best breakdown of the grassy knoll farter we have ever heard in the history of radio. Devon Givens, great having you on, man. Thanks so much. So you're going to be on with Jamie and Bob tomorrow?
I'll be on with Jamie and Bob tomorrow, starting at 12 o'clock from Xfinity Live, getting you ready for game number 4. And, of course, tonight, 6 to 9. I'm my normal spot as well.
There you go. Devon Givens, ladies and gentlemen, at 97.5 The Fanatic. Follow him on Twitter at DevonG97.5. Devon, thanks, brother.
Thank you, guys.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.